Well, one of the Ireland's leading historians here, Sean Beattie, and Sean has got some interesting things about St. Patrick, and I've got some local things to say as well. If you care to have a seat, Sean.
Thank you.
What do you know about this man they call St. Patrick?
Well, I thought it'd be interesting because we're meeting here this evening in the shadow of Greenan, and we all know that Greenan was his point of entry into Inishowen, and luckily he was allowed to come in. There were many places he wasn't accepted, and every place he went, he baptised people, and there are records in other places where he baptised huge numbers of people, and he also held great assemblies. So the idea of an assembly of newly of pagans and Christians gathering at Greenan is one that we don't hear about very often, but I think it's a very, very powerful image of St. Patrick's arrival here in Inishowen. Now, to get information about St. Patrick, I looked at the Annals of the Four Masters. There were four writers from South Donegal, and they wrote the Annals of the Four Masters, and they gave us information about St. Patrick's coming to Ireland and about St. Patrick's death as well. So I just have an excerpt here from the Four Masters, which I'll read for you. The age of Christ, 430, the second year of Lyra. In this year, Pope Celestinus I sent Palladius to Ireland to propagate the faith among the Irish, and he landed in the country of Leinster with a company of 12 men. Nahu, son of Garhu, refused to admit him, but, however, he baptized a few persons in Ireland, and three wooden churches were erected by him, and he gave the names of the churches. At one of these churches he left his books and a shrine with the relics of Peter and Paul and many martyrs besides. He left these four in these churches, Augustinius, Benedictus, Sylvester, and Holinus. Palladius, on his returning back to Rome, contracted a disease in the country of the Quirinae, and he died thereof. In the year 431, St. Patrick was ordained bishop by Pope Celestine I, who ordered him to Ireland to preach and teach piety to the Gael, and also to baptize them. And in the fourth year of Leary, the year 432, Patrick came to Ireland this year and proceeded to baptize and bless the Irish men, women, sons and daughters, except a few who did not consent to receive faith or baptism from him. Athrum was founded by Patrick. It happened been granted by Phelim, son of Leary, Flan Mantua.
That's very interesting. The story I heard the northwest was a place called Feemore, which I think it's still surviving, a place called Via, V-A-R-G-H. My pronunciation might be 100%. And he met Owen, the Prince of Donegal, who was a pagan, of course. And he met him outside Inishowen, because I think that Owen talked about... was it Owen, actually, that he met? I think it was, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It's one of the Princes of Inishowen. And he talked about being outside his own district. And at a place called Arden na Díseach, which Desi tells me his locals call Titian, do they?
Yeah.
Down there by Manor Cunningham. Yeah. There was an inauguration stone lying flat, sort of a yak, they called it, and it was used by various kings and princes over many generations. And apparently he talked about becoming a Christian at that site, and they travelled together up to the Greenan, and at that point I think he baptised him maybe at the well. He probably had to change the spirituality of the well, of course, which was probably a pagan well. And baptize them then. That's the story that I heard anyway.
Right. Yeah. And then, of course, you're down then to Carindonagh, where you founded a monastery, really establishing Carindonagh as a monastic centre, one of his great churches in the northwest. And then he proceeded then to Moville, to Cooley, where he ordained three deacons. And then he crossed the Foyl. There must have been a ferry at that time. Didn't swim it. And then he also founded a church just outside Corrain. But the interesting thing about Carin is that he wasn't welcomed when he came to Carin first, and he was chased out of Dentoher. But eventually he did find a site where he could found a church. Mm-hmm. And of course the cross remains there today, And at the back of the cross, there used to be a place called St. Patrick's Bed, where he's supposed to have lain, rested when he came to Carrington. But that has disappeared. We don't know where it is now. And of course, the monastery was there as well, and all the glebe land. So there was a great monastic foundation, and he left a bishop in charge called Bishop McCartan. And if you're ever travelling from Carn to Buncrana, just before you come to the Meanches, there's a hill, and it's called Craig McCartan. And that hill is actually called after Bishop McCartan, who was the man that St. Patrick left there. So St. Patrick is really, as you said yourself, imprinted in our landscape. Yeah. I think it's important to remember him tonight because of the night that's in it.
Yeah, it's extraordinary because his life, the tripartite life of St. Patrick, was actually contains maybe a dozen place names which are easily identified in the northwest from, as say, from Ard na Díosa right up to Carn Dona, and a lot of places in between, and the places are still used today. Friend of mine from Belfast called Brian Williamson. I see his name is on it. Yeah. He must have either stole it from him or else he gave it to me. But it's Victorian songs, and in this collection, there's an amusing song called "St. Patrick Was a Gentleman." I know there's a tune to it, but I haven't actually learned it. But I'm going to recite to you the words. "St. Patrick was a gentleman. He came from decent people. In Dublin town, he built the church and put upon it a steeple. His father was a Callaghan, his mother was a Brady, his aunt was an O'Shaughnessy, and his uncle was a Grady." And it gets better and better. "Then success to bow St. Patrick's fist. He was a saint so clever. He gave the snakes and toads a twist and banished them forever. There's not a mile in Ireland's isle where the dirty vermin musters. Wherever he put his dear forefoot, he murdered them in clusters. The toads went hop, the frogs went flop, slap dash into the water, and the beasts committed suicide to save themselves a slaughter. 900,000 vipers blue he charmed with sweet discourses, and dined in them at Killaloo in soups and second courses. When blind worms crawling in the grass disgusted all the nations, he gave them a rise and opened their eyes to a sense of their situation. No wonder that our Irish boys should be so free and frisky, for St. Patrick taught them first the joys of tippling the whiskey. No wonder that the saint himself, to taste it, should be willing, for his mother kept a sheaving shop in the town of Enniskillen. The Wicklow hills are very high, and so is the hill of Howth, sir. But there's a hill that's bigger still, aye, higher than them both, sir. 'Twas on the top of this high hill St. Patrick preached a sermon and drove the frogs into the bogs and bothered all the varmint." It's just a street ballad, but obviously that meant to be taken seriously. Yeah.